Welcome to Kicking It Local, the podcast all about the football community in South Australia. I'm your host, Johnny Kecko, and today we're joined by a current footballer at Nambuc United in the State League 2 and also a commentator for the NPL in South Australia, Alessio Carocci. Thank you for joining me, mate.
Thanks for inviting me, Johnny. It's been a while that I've hoped to be on this podcast, and finally today's the day.
Oh, mate, it's good to have you on. I know you listen on your weekly routes for work. What's it like, the job you're doing? Tell me a little bit about that, the job walking around the houses checking meters.
Yeah, so I've been about 2.5 years now since I've come out of school. It's quite a flexible job, a gas meter reader. And yeah, it's quite easy. I just put my headphones in and walk around all day. If it's good weather, then it's quite an easy job. And it's, yeah, you never know how long you've been going because it's just that time consuming and, you know, can't say much about it, but it's yeah, it's quite an easy job. Don't have to talk to anybody either, so I like it.
And you're keeping fit as well, going for walks on the daily, so that's a highlight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, all sometimes customers and people in the house ask me how many steps I do, and I say, well, today I'm about 30,000 through, or 20,000 wow, at this point of the day, and they're all really surprised. So I guess it's quite low pace, low heart rate activity, but yeah, it definitely keeps your legs fit as well. And if you've got any injuries, you about walk them off by the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And well, it's good that you're not driving enough because you got a bit of a drive on your commute to Mount Barker to train for your, well, on the during the weekend and also playing on the weekends. But we'll get to the playing a little bit later because we've got a lot to talk about. You've been around for a while playing in your local days. You've been at a few clubs. Adelaide City, Croatia Raiders, Sturt Lions, Olympic, Sturt again, and also Mount Barker now. But you also commentate as well. So I want to talk about everything if we can. But first of all, your haircuts. The haircuts have changed just as much as the clubs over the years. You were sending me some photos earlier, and I loved some of the photos of those different styles, just capturing different haircuts. You had a mullet at some stage, a man bun. You went bold at one point as well. You love looking after yourself, don't you?
Yeah, so not just the haircuts. Now that I've got past puberty, the facial hair as well has changed a bit. Just the moustache for a while. Now I've got the beard and all going on. So, yeah, it's been fun. And, yeah, it's something I like to do. I mean, we talked in our other podcast how I like to wear all the outlandish kits and stuff like that. So some of the outlandish hairstyles match me pretty well as well.
Well, absolutely, they do, mate. But, let's go into your playing days now because we talk about your hairstyle for days, but we've got to talk about when you played as well. Adelaide City, your juniors, under 8s to under 16s, so a pretty big time of your life, especially you're only in your early 20s at the moment. How was that to kickstart at a club with so much history and has produced so many good players over the years as well?
Yeah, so it's actually one of the closest clubs to me. I live near Burnside, so in the Parklands for the juniors was quite close, and I was lucky that my mum got me a trial there when I was 7 or 8 or something like that. And yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, some of the players I played with stayed with me for all those 8 or 9 years, and it led me on a lot of nice journeys. The Kanga Cup in Canberra was a big highlight. Some of the pre-seasons we did as well were pretty cool as well. And yeah, a lot of the players that came through that I played with, or they were years above or below me, were just fantastic. Even some of the coaches I had. I remember when I was about 14 or 15, I got called up to the under 17s team, and Sergio Melta was the coach. So that would definitely be one of my highlights of coaches I've had in the past.
What was it like being coached by someone of his caliber? It's just a great coach in his time as well, and player. What's it like to have a mentor like that at such a young age as well?
Yeah, well, I only played there probably 2 or 3 games. I got called up that season, and he had a team of a lot of older players like that as well. And I didn't really know too much about him either. And I think he was just filling a position for a place they didn't have a coach. And I can't really remember too much about it, but I just remember he always had the slick back gelled hair, and he always looked really tanned as well. And he was, yeah, quite imposing when you saw him on the touchline.
When we'll talk about the under-15s, because off air we're talking a little bit about your career to date, and you mentioned how your under-15s was the best soccer you've played. What made it so special for you to talk about that year so fondly?
Yeah, well, it was around those years when they started splitting the teams into the JPL, JSL type of trials as well. And in the first few years in that time, I think I had 12s and 13s. I was in the JSL. I was doing all right, but that JPL team were quite solid from when we were young as well. So I think it was under 14s I finally made the JPL team, but as a centre back. And then by the end of 15s, we had a bit of preseason games. For some reason, they played me on the wing. Scored a hat trick in my first game, and then I became the captain, and I became an attacker, and everything like that. And it just, it all changed for me. I mean, I think that season as well was probably my most successful as well. I think I scored 11 goals in 20 games on the wing, and I captained my team as well for the first time. And we won the cup as well, the Federation Cup, which was, it was quite a journey. My dad was a team manager as well, and I think probably the first team ever to be eliminated in the last 16 to win the cup final. Interesting story there was that the team we played, Modbury Jets, I think we lost 3-2 in extra time, but one of our players on our team notified my dad saying, hold on, this guy on the team sheet looks like he played in the JSL Cup the week before same club. So we followed up. They had to forfeit the game. We made it through and we won the cup all the way into the end. So that was quite a journey. But it was one of my proudest moments. And there was quite a lot of family and friends there. And that was probably the biggest occasion I've played on.
Oh, fantastic. That's a unique story as well to lose and then end up winning the cup overall. So that would have spurred you on to get that second life as well in the cup.
Yeah, that was for sure. I remember, I think it was 2017, so I was actually in Melbourne by the time I was watching the Brazil versus Argentina game at the MCG, and the message came through on my phone saying, official, Modbury Jets have been forfeited their game, Adelaide City through to the quarterfinals versus so-and-so the next week, and everyone was like, oh, wow, got a second chance here, let's make this work, and we all got fit, and we actually played it. A JSL side in the cup final that year in Croydon, and they were quite an underdog as well, and they took us all the way to extra time. But luckily we won it and got to lift the cup as captain in front of a lot of friends and family.
Well, it's a great story there as well, and that's not the only time you made a Federation Cup final as well. Runners up in the for Croatia as well, the under 18s. What was that like? Obviously a different level as well to play under 18s for a club like Croatia. To be a part of Federation Cup again, but runners-up this time around. How was that experience for you?
It was a very interesting year for me. I was one of only two people to make the trials for the under-18s team in that season. And we had, such a talented team, a lot of players playing NPL first team today. Vianca at Gwamana, Reese Thompson, a few other players. Caleb Evans, he plays at Blue Eagles first team now as well. And I went back to being a fullback in those days as well. And the cup final was at Hindmarsh, and that was a massive occasion. We beat Beograd in the semi-finals at the Parks, which was a little derby that a lot of fans rocked up for. It was unfortunate in the end. We played a good Metro Stars team in the final that had players like Alessio Malisi and Luke Fusco, Gus Nadu. They were some of the names we played back then, which were just unbelievable at that age group. But it was good to play in a team like that. And I'll never forget the times at the club as well, like the best food and the best training nights as well.
Well, in the years going after that, you kept on chasing that dream of trying to play first team football. You're in reserve sides for Sturt Lions and LA Olympic as well, both in the State League One for Sturt Lions and NPL with the two sides. How did you find that trying to break in? In especially clubs like those two that are in the NPL at the time, what was that like for you to try and get to that top level? Obviously, you didn't, but the journey of that those moments, what was it like for you to try and to reach that goal?
It was an interesting time. That time, I think Sturt didn't have a home ground. They were training at a school or a football pitch as well, and they had a team that had been together for such a long time. And I did train quite a few times with their first team, but never made a match day squad. But some of those names that are still playing today, some of the best friends that I've had so far in football and will continue to have for so many years, playing with people and training people like Michael Moroni, John Fusco, Alex Sortini, Daniel Gostello. These are some of the guys that have had hundreds of appearances in the local leagues, won trophies, and even Michael Moroney was one of my heroes growing up. As a fullback, I always thought he was the best we've ever had in Adelaide. And for him to even know who I am and pass me his phone number and let me know any tips and tricks and pre-season schedules he's had in the past, that was just like a dream come true to me. So even though it didn't go the best on the football field, I never really made any first team impact, but it was still good to have those people in my corner, and they all talk to me to this day. So
it's great to have those inspirations as well, and being around those players. That's what, as a fan and also a commentator now, I love seeing that kind of thing of these big players from the A-League that I remember growing up watching, like your Fabian Barbieri's, your Moroni's, and the likes, now playing in our local league, Michael Jackson, another one. But to have one of those players there and being able to lean on them a little bit would have been very valuable for you. What kind of things did having Michael Moroni there, what kind of things did you were you able to talk to him about and get inspiration about whilst you were there at the same club?
Yeah, so it was quite an interesting the way it came about that Michael Moroney came to Sturt. I remember having dinner after a game once with John Fusco and letting him know that, hey, did you know Michael Moroney is one of my favourite players, and I don't know, he might be off contract with Adelaide United anytime soon. So I don't know if I was the one to put the idea in his mind, but I'm go. Sure there was people above me that had more of an influence on how he got signed. But yeah, as soon as he came, I think it was known that, and a lot of players probably told him that I was a big fan of his in the reserves, and he made himself known to me. And I remember I think the first off season after he came, he sent me his preseason program from Adelaide United.
Oh, wow.
It was the full thing, like all the prehab and rehab exercises that he was doing. And they had, I think, 4 running days and 3 gym days. And obviously it was a lot for me to do as a uni student at the time, but I tried my best to get as fit as I could in that off season. And that was obviously one of the most successful years they had when they made the prelim final with him there. And that ended up being my last year at Sturt. So it was good to get a good preseason in there, and I trialed a few places as well. And I think that being friends with him ever since, every time I see him now as well, he's always excited to see me. And when I came back to Sturt, in 2023, just for half of the season there, I remember he was one of the first people to pat me on my back and say, oh, Alessa's back. So it was good to see that he still remembered me, and he has good memories of me as well.
Well, that's good to see. And that's what I love about these players that have come from those professional background as well. They're so giving back to the game, your Moronis, your Barbieros, even the players like that had a small taste of it, like your Mullins, and et cetera. They're all so giving back to the next generation. They know what it took for them to get to where they were, and now they're helping out. So that's fantastic. What have you taken from that, though? Have you been able to take anything in particular that's helping you to get to where you want to get to?
It was not just some of the tips he gave me. Even some of the other experienced players at Sturt would let me know some of their like tips and tricks they had. I remember one of the centre-backs, Daniel Gostella, he was telling me, because I could always notice how quick he was in anticipating some of the plays that from a centre-back to a striker, how he would get to them. And he was saying it's one thing that he does all the time was when the attacker feels composed and he knows that he's got time to turn, he dives in again really quickly and they don't expect it. So that was one of the main things I remember taking into consideration as defending a situation or attacking a situation, always to keep your body like at ball side and make sure there's no way for them to get a foot around. But just little things like that are just fantastic to know from other people. Otherwise, I'd just have to learn it myself. So,
did you ask Fusco any tips on how to still play in your 40s?
He's not got too many tips. I mean, he still lives such a flamboyant lifestyle, and he does what he wants, goes out when he wants, doesn't have the most strict diet either. But he just says I think it's the mates that he plays with that keeps him going. And he's in a lucky situation where, whether or not it is the reason he's still playing or not, his brother is a coach, but he came before his brother, so he would be playing there regardless. But he just says the people you play with is the reason that you continue. If he didn't have all the players that he had previously at Bacala or played other places with him, then maybe he wouldn't be still playing if he was at another club. But he always says, you just got to enjoy your football and enjoy the people you play it with.
Well, you talk about enjoying football. Last year, 2023, you were trying to break into the senior side, but that's where you ended up trying out different areas and where to go, and you ended up commentating with us, which was pretty cool. How did you find that part of it, being able to commentate and trying to juggle your football as well at the time? Did that help you a little bit through the journey?
Yeah, well, it's interesting the way that came about as well was, I think it was almost at the end of the season of 2020, I started the social media for Sturt Lions. So I started their Instagram page, their Twitter page, doing live updates, team sheets and lineups, goal scorers and stuff. And yeah, that was all something I just learned from previously being involved at Adelaide City. I think they were probably the only club back then that had live tweet updates,
yeah, or
sharing their lineups before the game. I remember my dad, he was doing some of the match day booklets for Adelaide City, and he said how much of a struggle it was to have asked for Damien Mori to give him this lineups. He was always very secretive about putting it in the match day booklet and before kickoff. So just learning all the stuff that they did there. And then I just thought when I was at Sturt, well, I'd like to do stuff that other people I would wish to do to me. So I just thought it's not hard. A lot of people in Victoria and New South Wales have social media, so it shouldn't be hard to start one here at Sturt. So I did that. And that was probably harder to juggle at that time, playing in the reserves and then being on the social media sideline for the first team to do their live updates was probably a bit harder than I think in 2023 when I had to juggle it with commentary and training and playing as well, because I wasn't playing as much by the time I got into the commentating world in 2023.
How do you find commentating? It's not an easy task, and at the stage you did, there wasn't many lead commentators. Now we've got about between three to five different lead comms now, which is fantastic. How are you finding it to do that as a player, and also the background you've got as well?
Yeah, well, it was actually mentioned to me. I remember it was I was on the first team like social media bench at South Adelaide away, and a few people came up to me and they said, "With your knowledge, and we got a few people that we know, and we reckon that you should do the commentating. We want to get some of the Sturt games commentated on." So I was like, "Oh, I'll give it a go. Let me know whose number it is." And I think it might have been Mark Talbot.
Yeah, it was.
At the time, or maybe it was Matt Mays. I can't really remember. But they were saying everyone knew for a long time that I had just a ridiculous memory and database of things of previous soccer in my brain. And they said, "You'd be perfect for this. You know everything about everyone. And I reckon if you get involved, you'd be good at it." And it was, yeah, my first game was with Seb as a co-commentator at Adelaide United youth team at Service FM. And yeah, I found it quite easy to seamlessly get in there, especially when you have somebody as a lead who is more experienced than me next to me. But it wasn't too far after that when a couple of people said, "Okay, we'll get some Sturt games at the new Carinya base." And I couldn't get a co-commentator for a long time. So it was just me up there in the scaffold and trying to talk to myself and get loud as I usually do as well. But I think a lot of people enjoyed it. And I remember a lot of people, because where the scaffold is at Carinya is just above the bench, they said they could hear me screaming some of the goals and they could hear me calling their names coming off the bench. So I think a lot of people enjoyed it there. And I think, yeah, it was quite an easy fit, to be honest.
Well, you did very well. And you said along Seb, which had the experience that you lent on. But if you look back, Seb was only a few games in as well. It's amazing how far you two have come in such a short year. It's only been 12 months that you've both been commentating in the local league. And it's great to see the next generation being involved and people like you inspired to do something different and bring players that either reserve players or people that have played juniors or anyone that loves football, even ex-players coming back. I think it's something that Mark as a former player wants to do is bring former players back into commentary. And you're a great example of that, of a current player as well that's aiming for their goal of being a senior footballer and also leaning on your experience and love for the game by putting it into commentary. And I love the idea of getting opportunities for next generation to be in the media and have those opportunities to be a lead comms. So you're a bit of a mix of both, which is great to see to come into it. It's good. And I love seeing this. It's fantastic. The one thing I remember, I think we commentated a few times together now, and I think you were, because I'm a lead, I'm definitely not a co-coms. It's not easy to be a co-coms. You need that football brain, but I remember doing it with you as a co-comms, and I remember that just thinking when you were talking, you're a natural lead comms with your ability to describe the game, and yes, and the descriptions of it, and that's fantastic. The knowledge you have as well, when you got the extra knowledge of players, it just adds so much more value to commentary as well, which I think that you bring perfectly. And one thing I think I remember as well is the Mount Barker game, you commentating alongside Josh Murray, and that was almost like two worlds colliding, because that's your first game with Josh Murray on the mic, and ended up being commentating your future club, where you got to make your senior break. How was that to commentate that game, first of all, and then now be a part of that club as well as your first senior footballing career?
Yeah, well, I don't know how the stars aligned that perfectly, that the game before, because I was already going to go there, because I talked to the first team coach and the president at Mount Barker the week before, and I said, all right, next week I'll come to training and we'll go like that. And then I said to my parents, oh, I'm going to go watch one of their games if I can, if they're local. And then happened to be they had a home game. And then just so happened that game as well was Adelaide United versus Croydon. And then my cousin was playing in the reserve. So I went to go watch my cousin. And then, oh, we're going to be commentating if you want in the first team game. And I was like, oh, all my stars are aligning at once. And I think I had Josh Murray on it. Maybe I might have had him on a previous game or maybe a game later in the season. And I
yeah, said, later.
If you live east side, then maybe you want to come up to Mount Barker and have a commentary with me. And there's some good pitches there. I think David Grant, one of our other commentators, he lives in the Hills area, so he came to watch. And it was, a great spectacle as well to watch a game there and could stay there the whole day. I think I was there probably from 12 o'clock to 8 o'clock by the time the State League 2 first teams played. So, yeah, it was such a great occasion, and I'm glad that a club like Mount Barker can do those things for Adelaide United every year and get so many people out there.
It was a great occasion. It was great to be down there. And you did mention David Grant as well, a fixture in the local commentary now. Is from Hills Hawks, I remember when I started commentating with him four or five years ago now. But it's that voice. I love it. And it just sounds good having someone like that as well. Well, how do you find it now? You got your teammates, you got your commentary mates as well. What's it like for you to be a part of those two communities as well and being able to share that with everyone?
Yeah, well, I'm quite a popular figure around the club now because everybody can hear me whenever they turn on the MPL TV. I know my coaches, the president, some of my teammates, they're all like, oh, I was listening to you last night on Friday night usually when I do some commentary, and they say, oh, you sound pretty good. Or my coach, he listens to our podcast as well. Everybody thinks I'm quite popular in the football world, and sometimes they take the piss, have a few jokes and stuff. And they say, you got to make sure you promote us all the time as well, because we want to get more people up here. I think I remember on commentary, I shared a picture of when there was ice over our pitch in Mount Barker. They were saying, oh, make sure you don't tell everyone to steer clear of the ice at Mount Barker. Make sure you try and promote it a bit more. But yeah, everybody loves it. And I think I've been a good addition to the club as well, getting the Mount Barker social media game up and trying to get some of their kits. A lot of clubs and manufacturers have been after us now because I've put the work into Pega and Macron, and they've been all looking to get involved with the club. And I think even I've got some people to come over this year that I knew from Sturt as well. So I think it's just only getting bigger and bigger. And I think, the teammates I have and the commentary mates I have, everything is just blending into one by now.
Well, it's great. I love the Hills clubs because that's where it all started for me. So I absolutely have a soft spot for both Adelaide Hills Hawks and Mount Barker United. So it's good to see the club building on what it started with, because I remember when it first started, it was obviously an amateurs club, and it's taken a long time to get that professionalism instilled into the club. And it looks like you're at a good point at the moment. And it seems like it's a great fit for you to kick off your senior footballing career. What's some of the positives that you found being able to be a part of this and kicking off your senior debut down there at Mount Barker?
Yeah, well, I think it takes a lot of the weight off. I mean, at the bigger, per se, clubs that I was at in the past, there was always so many people in the way, I guess, in the first team. They're looking for a spot. They're often going to just sign someone on in the MPL to take that spot, whereas in the lower leagues, I guess, they're willing to take a chance on more people, and a lot of people who've been playing at quite high level reserves, they really need to get their break in the lower leagues.
Yep.
And I see it as a similar standing point as some of the clubs like Sturt Lions, or even some teams like Vipers, stuff like that. A lot of those players who've come through now who are doing well in the NPL or did well in the State League One, they started their days in the State League Two, or back when there was the Premier League and Super League. They were like one of the lower clubs in the second division. So I think it's hopefully on a trajectory just like those, and it will have some big moments in the years to come. But it does fit in with everything in my life as well. We only train 2 nights a week, so it works well with doing uni work, doing my gas meter reading, doing my commentary, going to the gym. It all fits in time there. It gives me good rest time as well. And for me as well, it's actually not that far away from me. Living on the east side, it's only 25, 30 minutes up the freeway, and that's probably even less than it was to get to get to Croatia Raiders with all that traffic up the roads up there. So it's quite good. I think it's a good base at least to hopefully project my senior career, and hopefully I can have some good moments with these guys and then see where it takes me.
Well, you say, we're talking off air as well about when you go up to Mount Barker and that long, long drive. It's not long. It just feels long driving to Mount Barker from the bottom of the expressway. It's a freeway. It just seems so long driving there, especially when there's roadworks. It always seems, in the many years I was going up there, it always seemed like there was roadworks at some point along the way, and you're driving at 40 kilometers when you should be driving at 90 to 100. So you told me off air, there's like almost like a bonding session. A few of you meet down the bottom of the freeway and drive up together, carpool. What's that like for you to be a part of that? And what's that doing to the unity of your club as well?
Well, I really think that it really keeps us a lot closer than we would have been before. I mean, the first few times I went up there, I was driving by myself, and it's probably longer when you are by yourself to drive up there,
no matter
how fast you're going. But when you get there in a carpool and you're waiting to see all your friends at the car park at the bottom of the freeway, and then you have so many chats on the way there, and then by the time training's finished, you can all debrief the training that just happened, or if anyone's got some gossip to share, it's always in the carpool there. Sometimes you wish it was longer, the amount of chats we have in the car now. And I think it really gets that core group of players together, and we're always adding new people there each year. The more we have east side players that come up, or other people that need a lift once or twice a week, they always come with us. We even got some Japanese players, an English player that's come this year, and they're always joining in with us. And I think it really helps them as well get a real feel of the club.
That's fantastic. I love those stories, because it can get boring by yourself. I remember when they brought in Hungry Jacks up there in Mount Barker, that ended up being my company on the way home every Wednesday night, and wasn't good after a couple of years of doing that. But it's good to have someone to talk to, and I think that just adds to the bonding for the club and just brings you guys together. I've been talking to people from Northern Demons, obviously a longer trip, but it's those things I reckon absolutely help with bringing a club together. And it's showing on the park that obviously you're doing something right between the squad. It's fantastic to see, mate. Well, I look forward to seeing where the future leads for you, because in either media, commentary or football, there's something special is going to happen, I feel. So I look forward to seeing where that takes you. What do you see yourself doing in the future? Obviously, football is a big part of your life, but how do you see your future panning out?
Well, yeah, I never really expected that media could be an option as a future career. And as we talked about in the past, you never know what can happen with these Federation Cup games, Australia Cup games. If other people are watching, you can get a lot of opportunities elsewhere. And I know in Victoria and New South Wales, some of the people that commentate those games have shows on SBS, and they were in the World Cup preview shows as well. So I think interstate, there's probably a lot of opportunities to get involved in further media work. But I also go to uni for architecture, so I think there'll be probably some job opportunities in the future that are going to probably see how many things I can fit into my week then. But main thing I think at the moment is I really enjoy the balancing I'm doing in between everything at the moment. And I really hope that a club like Mount Barker can enjoy some success soon. I know it's really small steps at a time, but from what for the time I've been there, it's just been an improvement every year, every week. It seems like there's more professionalism being involved, video sessions, team bonding, set like going out as a team, going for dinners as a team. It's just getting more and more close-knit as a team, and I'm sure the results are just not too far away as well.
Well, it's funny how you say you're learning to be an architect, and it's the way you've built your media footprint in South Australian football is very fitting for that. So I look forward to seeing some of the buildings you end up building in the future as well, hopefully. You could be building the next stadium in South Australia. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe I got to put another stand on the Mount Barker Summit Sports Creation Centre by the time we get promoted. But yeah, hopefully I think they've actually got quite a few developments happening in that area in the near future from what I've seen. And they actually help us with a lot of opportunities as well. I think in the next few weeks, to gather around at Mount Barker, 15 of us are going to be volunteering on one of the sausage sizzles there. So it's a great incentive that players who play for the club can help out the football club just up the street there, and we can watch a game, an AFL game there at Mount Barker Stadium, which is something I've never done and I've always wanted to do as well since that has been created and since I've played at the club.
That's brilliant. It looked good last year. Actually, I now remember the game that you actually commentated at the Mount Barker, the Rec Centre, which was the LA United game. That was, I think, the weekend after or of the gather round. So there was the stadium was still pretty much built when we were there. I remember seeing it. It was all around the side still. They were taking it down, I reckon, at that time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big spectacle as well. And hopefully more people can come up to the Mount Barker area. And it's going to be a big place to live in, I think, in the next few years as well. I think some of the proposed developments that I saw with a swimming centre, a big gym and big shopping centre as well. It might be the second most populated township in SA. So I think it's only going up from here. And I think that hopefully we can be the main soccer team in that area as well.
Absolutely, mate. Well, it looks like you're very passionate about the club, which I love to see. And I look forward to seeing your future in football career and media, obviously, as well. But before we let you go, I think you know it. You've heard it a few times. So the kicking at questions, I've got to ask you the two very important questions before I let anyone go. Which footballer would you love to have kick with on the park? Anyone in the world, if you had an opportunity?
Well, I've been lucky enough to play with some of my heroes, like Michael Moroney. And I've been able to play against quite a few NPL players in training as well. But I think someone like Maradona, he would just be, I don't know, unbelievable. He was not of my generation, but someone like Maradona, I think he would just be crazy on and off the field, and especially on the field. Just some of the things he could do with the ball is just magic.
Yeah, he would have been a good one to share that with. So that's a great one answer there, mate. And number two, name two people, an international, someone from overseas and someone locally you love to kick back with on a Saturday night and crack a few beers, watch some footy with. Well, football, the real football.
I think the international one, I think the international one would have to be the coach of my club, Jurgen Klopp. I think he just reminds me a lot of like a grandparent, and I've got German grandparents as well. So he really embodies that country's the way they act as well. I think he's just, so funny. And I reckon he's got that dry humor as well, which is, it'll be awesome to have on a Saturday night. So I think he'd be the international one I'd want to hang out with. The local one, probably be John Fusco. I know he's our age bracket's probably one that you wouldn't expect to be good friends, but just some of the stories he has is, even though I didn't know him too much until I came to Sturt, he's got quite a leadership role in my life, and he's a big person I look up to as well.
Oh, that's fantastic, mate. Well, hopefully one day you can meet up with both of them. That'd be good if you can see Klopp. Now, well, mate, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Really appreciate it to finally have you on the show on Kicking It Local, mate, and look forward to seeing where you go in the future and calling a few more games together. It's going to be exciting next few years, hopefully, in the local game and overall in football with South Australia.
Yeah, I'm really keen to see some of the places that I haven't been to yet as well, and I hope more places we can commentate on, more different leagues as well, and maybe you're going to call one of my games in the future.
Hopefully, mate. I wouldn't mind doing that. Absolutely. You can score a cracker, hopefully, from halfway, maybe.
Yeah, I'm no book over. We could try our best.
Well, you can get some. You got a bit of time to give him some call. Give him a call to get some tips from him, mate. But anyway, better let you go. Thank you so much for joining me, mate, and all the best in the future.
Thanks for having me on, Johnny. And yeah, make sure we listen to all the podcasts, TV shows that our local leagues are providing at the moment, and the more the merrier.
Definitely, mate. Well, all the best. We'll speak to you soon. And that is all on Kicking It Local. That was Alessio Carocci from Mount Barker United. Sadly, that's the end of the latest episode of Kicking It Local. But still want your weekly football fix? Well, tune in to The Local Game, a new show on Kecko Media YouTube, premiering Thursdays at 6 p.m. with replays on Channel 44 each Friday night. For more local stories, don't miss an episode of Kicking It Local. Subscribe on Spotify now.